Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode. Hey, thanks for joining me on this episode of the KMC. I'm Tom Bump, your host. And, you know, we're talking today about the idea of creativity and how to unlock it and how to unleash it. A lot of kidmen leaders and ministry leaders, period, doesn't matter where you're at, struggle with this idea of creativity. And we're not just talking about coming up with object lessons and those kind of things. Or going to, you know, because I see a lot of the crowdsourcing ideas on Facebook where people are struggling to get an idea and how to be creative. And so they end up copying and pasting from somebody else instead of coming up with their own solutions or that kind of thing. What we're really looking at is this idea of it's a bigger concept of creativity. And I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. My good friend Jason Tilley's back on with me. Welcome back, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Good to be back.
Cool. Well, I'm super excited. Truth be told, full disclosure, we've already been talking for an hour and a half, gang, and we're just now hitting the record button. And I'm sorry, because if you could only have heard a lot of the conversation, well, not all of it, but some of it anyway was good, what Jason said. So, but we're going to be talking about this idea because I know you're passionate about creativity and using creativity to ask questions that need to be asked in every ministry, problem solving, and determining new ways of focus on ministry. And so I'm super excited to dive in on this. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to dive right in. Because I'll let you tell about yourself at the end of the podcast when people can connect up, because I know they're going to want to at the end. But tell me and tell the listeners, why is it that so many leaders struggle with creativity? What is it?
Well, I think that's part of the problem. I think that's why so many people struggle with creativity. Creativity is not limited to anything in particular. And I know that most of my ministry career has been labeled as some form of creative, and it's taken so many different forms. When I was in college and seminary, I did drama ministry because we were looking for different ways to express the gospel through performances, and that was considered creative. And then I also did video and media ministry, and that was considered creative. I got out of seminary, I went to children's ministry, and children's ministry was considered creative. And I also helped our worship team, and the worship team was considered creative. And so creativity kind of has a lot of different forms and facets, and people tend to try to define it and narrow it down too much. And they'll say, well, creativity is about what you just said, coming up with object lessons or writing poetry or drawing. And if they immediately put it in that kind of context, then they automatically exclude themselves if they can't do that. So mm-hmm. I think that's why they struggle with it, is because they limit it and then they put themselves outside of those limitations.
There you go. Okay. And so they put themselves into a rut.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that. I think we're seeing that a lot, not just in ministry world, but all around us. When you see all the remakes of things, and I'm not trying to be mean, but sometimes it feels like, can't anybody come up with something new and different and creative, to use the word? And so what can a leader do when they start feeling like, boy, they're stuck? And they're in that rut. What can they do to get that back and to stir it up inside of them? What does that take? What's that look like?
Well, it's a lot of what I'm about to talk about comes from an area of thought that I've been studying for the past several years called design thinking. And that is basically a fancy way of saying using your creativity that God's given you to solve just about anything. And so the first thing you have to realize is that being made in an image of a creative creator, you're creative. You are creative. It's not a question of if you can do A and B or C that makes you creative. No, you are creative. You may not have discovered how your creativity expresses itself yet, but you are creative. I mean, It's a creative, it's an act of creativity to sit down at a restaurant table that's wobbly and you don't want to spill your drink and you want to figure out how to make that table stable so it doesn't spill your drink. That's creativity, because you may go and find a sugar packet, or you may wad up some napkins, or you may discover that the wheels, the feet of the table turn, or you may move to another table. In any situation, you've come up with a way to say, I don't want to spill my drink. So you've come up with a creative solution to your problem. Uh-huh. And I think if any of us would think back like that, we would see times when we're like, oh yeah, I've done that. That's creativity. And so the first thing you need to do is believe that you're creative, because believing the lie that you're not is a surefire way to keep it locked up.
Ooh, say that one more time. That's really good.
Believing the lie that you are not creative is the surefire way to keep it locked up.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of leaders out there that feel that. And I'll confess, there were times in my life that I felt like I wasn't being creative and that I was just taking stock curriculum, so to speak, stock videos, whatever, and just plugging and playing because I didn't feel like I had the creativity. I wasn't gifted in writing or that, you know, and I told myself those things. Wow. Yeah. So that's a real powerful truth to sit there and take, to really get a godly perspective of who you are in Christ and who you are created to be, and that you need to unleash that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really good. So as we work on our belief system, and start embracing that God-given creativity, where do we start when it comes to looking at ministry things? How does a leader kick that in and get going?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is find something that bothers you. Find a problem you want to solve. It may be that you don't like the way your curriculum's written and you want to fix it and you want to do something different. That may be a problem you want to solve. Maybe you love it and you think it's fine, but the problem is you don't like the way your kids engage with it, or you don't like the way your parents are greeted, or you don't like the way that your church doesn't reach out to certain parts of your community because they don't have a mechanism to do that. You have to find a problem that you want to solve. And in order to do that, the best place to start is what bugs you. You know, I think I heard it once from T.D. Jakes, of all people, said it in a sermon that I loved. He said, make your misery your ministry.
That's good.
And that if something bothers you enough, God's putting that on your heart to do something about. And so what you want to do is find out what bothers you, and then you do two things to define this problem better. You make observations and you ask questions. And people come away when I say that and say, that is the simplest thing you could possibly say. And I'm like, yes, it is. It is.
Sometimes the best answers are the simplest ones.
But God didn't make this an impossible thing for us to use. God didn't make this some secret sauce or some special thing. It's basically very simple. Find something that bothers you. Look at it. Think about what bothers you. Ask yourself why. Why is this like this? And then keep asking. So why do kids come into our ministry and the parents don't drop them off and talk to the small group leaders? Well, why do the parents feel like they should do that? Well, why is that happening? And you keep asking yourself, why don't you get to what's called the root of the problem? And when you get to the root of the problem, you've just begun to start solving it.
Good stuff. Okay, so we start asking that and we start looking and we get that. But I know what typically happens to people who, and it's funny because I've described myself as a creative, but then I don't feel creative sometimes. and so sometimes I know what happens is I can feel very overwhelmed and it's hard to get outside my comfort zone and lead creatively. So what are some things that I can do to make sure that, okay, I get that problem, but I don't want to get stuck and overwhelmed by the size of the problem,
right?
Or the shape of the problem or the complexity of the problem. So what do I need to do to make sure I'm moving forward and leading creatively? Boy, I can't even speak.
Well, there's a couple things you can do there. One you can do is you pull people around you. So you don't only believe in your own creativity, you believe in the creativity of the others around you, and you pull them in. And you want to say, hey, this problem's big. And trust me, if you're chasing a God problem, it's big. God doesn't give you problems that you can solve on your own simply. God gives you problems to make you rely on Him to solve them. All right? It's not – so if you're following something you feel like is a God-sized problem, because if it's something you can just wrap up nicely, you're not thinking big enough. So you need to seek out those God-sized problems. And when you do, yeah, it's going to feel overwhelming. You're going to feel like, I can't do that. And so what you want to do is you want to pull people around you and say, hey, God's given us this problem as a church, and we're going to solve it together. I don't mean staff. I don't mean go hiring people. Wait till you can hire people. These are people that are already within your church. For an example, when I was at Fellowship and Mike and I were coming up with a plan for our VBS, which we called Adventure Week, I got it in my head. I wanted a space station. We had like this pretty cool modern architecture. We had a lot of windows, and we could create a space station. It would mean covering up the windows to make it look like stars. We had a bunch of different ideas, and we're like, well, there's no way we're going to be able to do this. I mean, I would point out, let's put a rocket here, and let's maybe put a control center here, and we'll have something going in the building where we're hearing like scheduled departures or news for the day and different things like that, so that when the kids immerse themselves in the story we're going to tell, that eventually led them to the gospel, we're going to have them immerse themselves in the space station, the space world.
Wow.
And way bigger than anything we could accomplish. You know, this is not something you can write a check for. This is bad. Like, this is like, wow, how in the world are we going to do that? And so we went and we assembled a team. And the way we did it was to do the weirdest thing in the world. We just basically put up some signs, put up some flyers, did some announcements and said, we're looking for engineers, coders, anyone who knows works with electrical, architects. We're looking for any chemical people. I mean, we just put up the most random thing, artists, scene designers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we just said, hey, we're looking for these people to help us come to a meeting. We had people show up at that meeting that didn't fit any of those criteria, but wound up being on our team. They came just because they're like, what in the world are y'all doing that you need?
Yeah. I could see that happening. Yeah.
And what happened was we created this group of people that stayed together and converted our entire building into 5 or 6 different worlds over the next several years. Wow. And found ways to serve. And they weren't serving the church anywhere else. And through that, they got into the life of the church, and it really was a beautiful thing to watch how God used people. We tended to put them into 4 buckets, and something we call the 4 Ds. Okay. The first D was the dreamers. I tend to fall in that category. These are the people that can walk through and say, we want to have a space station. How are we going to do that? I have no idea yet, but that's what I see. I see our kids. I would literally see children walking through the space station and experiencing things that I don't know how we would accomplish it, but I know what it would feel like. I know what it would look like. Well, then we get some people around us called designers who can take those and say, oh, well, then this needs to look like this, and this needs to be this tall and this wide, and you need to have these proportions, and you need to have this look like it would feel this way, and you need to have these colors and these styles. And it's like, okay. Then we get people around the developers that would say, okay, so here's the kind of materials we need. Here's what we need to go find. Here's the kind of stuff we're going to need to create. Here's the pieces that we need together to create that kind of stuff. Here's the people we need to do it. And then we would have the doers who's like, I can take a paintbrush and put it on something and make it look like you want it to look. I can put the texture and the style. I can build it the way you want it to where it won't fall down and hit some kid in the head. I can do these things. And all of these people, now, keep in mind, there was no one group that was more creative than the other. And nobody fit in just one category, ever. But
yeah,
these are all people who had different ways to creatively accomplish this goal. And in the end, we had a space station. And we got that building so dark that in Texas summer, you could walk in the building and there'd be no sunlight. It would look like a starscape because the sun's hitting the the way we set the windows, and it was really cool. It really was.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
So that's really, but that was a big problem we have. How are we going to make this look like a space station? It doesn't have to be that. It could be, how are we going to get our church body engaged in our community more, talking to people about Jesus? How do we do that? You bring around a group of people around that problem. Or you might say, well, how do we maybe revamp our small group experience so that it really fits the needs of people's lives today? You bring people around that. You take those God-sized problems and you assemble a team to help you solve them.
And that way you're not feeling so overwhelmed and alone and thinking that you've got to do it. And any size church can do that. I mean, even if your team is you and one other person, you can find somebody that can be a designer or a developer or the doer, and so it doesn't have to be a large team.
No, it doesn't have to. That's the thing, is that everybody brings their own perspective. It doesn't have to be a large team at all. And in fact, I would say there's a game you could play. Get one other person and say, pick a common household object like a hairdryer. And you two write down how many different ways you think you could use this hairdryer for something other than being a hairdryer. And while you will come up with a lot of the same ideas, I guarantee you, you'll each come up with an idea the other didn't have yet.
Yeah.
Because we're different and we have different perspectives.
Right. Yes. That's it. And that's what I think you want to come across with in this podcast episode is to start thinking about this and get creative about your team and who could get on there. And it's probably the most least likely person you're thinking of. And you're probably not thinking of that could do that. And you may have to ask your pastor or somebody else in your church and say, hey, I'm looking for these kind of, give them the 4 D's and say, can you give me some names of people? They're probably going to be somebody you totally didn't think of that's outside your realm, but they're going to be that big player that's going to make all this come together for you.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Okay. So we've got a problem that we've diagnosed and we've got a good grasp on what it is and all that kind of stuff. And so, we started defining that challenge that I've got. And the whole idea then is what do I need to start looking at that problem, but how do I come up with the solutions to that? And maybe I've gathered some people that have the gifts to help me with that, but what do I do? How do I get started on that next part of the process? And what is next?
Well, that's the fun part to me, because basically, your team has it within them to solve this problem. They're gifted there already. And your job as the leader is to help bring that out. And that is where I really get into some of these kind of things that exercises, and they'll call them games, that design thinkers use to help solve problems from social issues to developing apps to fixing to creating the mouse that we use on our computers. These are all the same kind of tools. And, we're working on a resource for that right now, but I would recommend a book called Game Storming or Think Wrong or Creative Confidence to kind of get you spearheaded around some ideas. Here's an example. One of them was the hairdryer example, but here's another example. You get the group together and you do what's called a 3-12-3 exercise. And so you basically write two words on a board that says what you're trying to accomplish, reach or maybe even a short sentence, make people feel welcome. Maybe that's your problem. People don't feel welcome. They don't come back because they don't feel welcome. And then you give everybody 3 minutes to just write down one solution per card, every idea they might have, and just throw them on a pile. Then after that 3 minutes, you look at the cards, you split your group up into groups of two or three. You take each group takes 3 cards. They go look at it, pick one they want to work on, spend 12 minutes coming up with a potential solution to how to make people feel welcome. And then at the end, you present that to all three people. For 3 minutes, you present that to the rest of the group. All right. So you've basically had an idea. This is how we would do it. Here's the group. So then you post them up on the wall for people to see. And then the people go up and I take their pen and they check off which one they like the best. And you look at all the ones that would possibly be have the most checks and you group them together. Maybe you do another round and go, okay, so maybe we're getting down between these three ideas. Check the one you like better between these three ideas. And people go in and they do it again. And eventually what will happen is you'll get one. You'll get one idea that everybody thinks, yeah, the most of us think this is a really good thing we should try.
Okay.
And that's where you do that. Now, you may want to put some what we call constraints on it or limitations. We want to make people feel welcome, but we can't spend more than $20. All right. We want to make people feel welcome and we want to do it within 5 minutes of them getting here.
Uh-huh.
We want to make people feel welcome and we want to do it as they're leaving to go home to the parking lot. We want to make people feel welcome, but we only want to do it in three words. Yeah, these are just exercises that help focus your creativity, help put real world limitations on what you're trying to deal with. Most churches don't have a ton of money to work with. Most churches may not have a lot of time to work with. So you put some real constraints on it. I think the making people feel welcome in three words is not quite a real constraint, but the rest are. This is like, mm-hmm. These are things you do. You say, okay, think about this context, this limitation. And when you do that, it helps focus that creativity. But eventually you have something that you want to try. And so that's how you work together with your team to get to that point.
Yeah. It's almost, as you were talking, it reminded me of the movie Apollo 13. And there's the scene where one of the guys walks in, I think he's actually the flight director, walks in with this big box of stuff, dumps it all out on the table and says, okay. Because it was when they were running out of oxygen, mm-hmm. and their filtration system wasn't working. And so they were like, okay, this is all they have up there. This is all we have down here. You got to take this and make it fit this. And it was like a round filter mm-hmm. that had to become square or something. And they were like, this is what you have. So that's kind of the process that you're describing is that you're taking the problem and you know what the problem is. They had running out of oxygen. The filter wasn't working. And then you're getting this team of dreamers and doers and people together, again, one, two people, and you're starting to break it down. And then you're looking at, okay, we could see that, okay, as we look at this box and this tabletop of stuff, here's the pieces we have. Here's the constraints, the context. And so now what do we agree that would work together to make this work and come together to fix the problem? So, I was visualizing that whole scene and how they came out with mm-hmm. this whole process step by step to go, wow, look at this. Like you said, come up with that basic solution that you can try out of all these different random things that you may not have ever thought could work or would work.
Yeah.
I know this process sometimes can seem pretty overwhelming too with leaders, especially we have a lot of leaders that are serving in small church contexts.
Sure.
What kind of encouragement can you give them? Again, I mean, like we said, the team, we know the team doesn't have to be that large, but when it comes to taking these solutions and walking through this process, it can be overwhelming when you're the only one leading a team and only having a team of, three or four people. So what advice, what encouragement can you give them?
Well, there's something that you don't have to do and you don't have to go all out with your idea. You can start small. In fact, you should start small, because here's something that you're going to learn through going through this process is that you have something wrong. You got something wrong. You often don't know what it is until you try to fix the problem, but you're seeing something wrongly in the problem. It could be some kind of indirect bias you have or indirect assumption that you're just trying to maybe say, oh, this is what I've always felt it is, so this is what we'll do, but somehow you've got it missed. So it's important that you don't go all out and try to create some whole new initiative or try to change your whole ministry around this. Start small. Mm-hmm. Do something. If it's something involved, if you want to do something to help engage all the families of your church, engage two families. Try it with that and see what happens. And if that works, maybe try it with five. If it doesn't work, maybe try something else. But you want to keep trying and you want to fail. And again, please hear me. We're going to fail. We're going to fail a lot more than we're going to succeed. And there's nothing to be afraid of in failure. We often, for some reason, we've got this idea that success or failure depends on whether or not God likes us. That's not, has nothing to do with anything.
Right.
To do with anything. No, we should fail in the freedom knowing that we are accepted and loved and secure in God. Our identity is in Christ, not in the success or failure of our endeavors. And so when you have that freedom, you can go and try and fail and learn. And this is something that I feel like, especially in the tech world, they've learned a lot faster than the rest of us, is that failure is not an option. Failure is an expectation. We're going to mess it up.
That's good. Right.
And we're going to learn from it and we're going to do better. But in order to make sure that our failure is fruitful and not damaging, this is why we don't go and reshape our entire ministry around the idea. Or we don't go in a huge initiative and try to reach 90% of our community with this idea that we're not sure is right yet. Instead, we try to reach a few, see how that goes, and then we'll decide if it's going to be a solution that we're happy with. And so you'll make small tweaks, you'll change things, and you'll decide if this works. And once you get to that point, then you have a choice to make.
Okay.
Do I continue with this and expand it, make it bigger, reach more people, try to scale it, is a term they use a lot. Or do I pivot? Do I go a different direction? Because this idea of tried three or four different ways, it doesn't seem to be working. Okay. Well, guess what? That was the idea everybody voted on. Everyone liked the best. There's another idea that you have that everybody liked second best. Go back and try that one. So you don't even have to bring the team back together. You probably will have two or three ideas that are worth trying. And you just pick one that everybody wanted to try first. Right. And you just go, well, that didn't work. Let's try this instead. And then you take it through the same process. And if it works, after you try it and tweak it a little bit, then you scale it. If it doesn't work, you try something else. And the process repeats itself. And the beauty of it is this framework works no matter what context you're in, no matter what size you're in, no matter what problem you're trying to face. They're just tools.
Right. Right. So anybody can walk through this process that you just outlined and really come up with viable solutions to things. And you're right. I think we have a habit of going to a conference or listening to a podcast or reading a blog post and thinking, oh, I'm just going to implement this today, you know? And it's like, that is such a dangerous thought. Mm-hmm. Because then, yeah, that kind of failure is bad. Failing forward is not so bad, you know, because a failure does move you forward. You know, I mean, it's the old story about Thomas Edison, right? You know, that he didn't fail to make a light bulb. He learned how not to, all those different ways of not making a light bulb. Right. And I think that's it, is when we look at children's ministry, when we look at ministry in general, sometimes we're afraid to fail forward for the sake of our reputation or losing our job or whatever, but we really should create those environments that we have the ability to try something small. And if it fails, it fails small, but you learn from it and you show you learn from it and move forward. Right. I mean, that's really what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, I just think that for most leaders, you know, that do feel like you, if you're struggling with the idea of creatively solving problems, you really should take a look at this and think this thing through and not buy into the lie of the enemy to say, I'm not creative. We got to stop saying those things.
And it's, I think you start with, so I'll just recap real quick. One, you got to understand that artistry and creativity are two different things. That you may not be an artist in a certain caliber, but you are creative. Everyone is creative. We all have some level of creativity that God has given us. That's the first thing. Number two, you see a problem, start with something that bugs you. Ask why. Ask what's most important. Ask what you need, what you might do to fix that problem. All right. Then next thing you do is you gather people around you, because the problem is bigger than you can solve. And there are people that can help you think through this thing, and you use some activities, and we'll probably put some up on our blog post soon of a list of activities you can use, different activities. I've got some in there now, like storyboards and other types of things. So on our blog, you'll see them. But use some of these activities to help yourself, help you solve, come up with ideas to solve the problem. Start small, fail forward, like Tom said, make the mistakes that make you better, not the mistakes that end you. And then finally decide if you want to make this bigger or if you want to start over again. And every time you hit a problem, if you can follow that process, you'll find new ideas for every solution.
So good. Hey, you know, I mean, I know one of the things, you know, we've been talking about the idea, and I believe God's going to bring us into a good partnership with this concept that, but you know, as if you're listening and you've been considering like the KMC coaching idea, one of the things that Jason and I were talking about is the potential of doing a cohort type group, mastermind type group, where we would walk a group of people through this process and walk away with that. So if you're interested, feel free to reach out to Jason or myself. Because we would love to have a conversation with you and what that would look like for you. But Jason, there's probably some people that are thinking this through and may have some questions. So, we're going to put the link to the blog in the podcast notes and stuff, but tell us a little bit about how they can keep following this and idea. And as you expand it in the blog, cause it's really some amazing stuff. How can they find that?
Well, we're posting on ministryaccelerator.org is our main blog site. We also have a Kidmen section too, where we talk about more Kidmen specific things. But most of this design thinking stuff you're going to see on that site. You can reach me directly, Jason@ministryaccelerator.org, and we'll be happy to kind of answer any questions you might have about what that might look like or have a conversation. We're working on a couple different things. We're working on a book and possibly maybe even some form of email class or web class. We haven't decided what's the best way to serve people yet. So we're kind of playing with those ideas. See how we can get this in more people's hands to try it.
Yes. Yes. And I definitely want to help facilitate that to the KMC community and the rest of the kid ministry community. So yes, if you're not part of the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group, get in on there, because Jason and John are very active on there and contribute to us. Again, if you're interested in some coaching, we do offer that. Just message me and I'll be glad to give you more details on that. But this is definitely a good one. Children's Pastors Conference 2020 coming up. I know you guys will be there, and I'm sure presenting on some of these kind of ideas. And so it's going to be really great. We just want to see, I think that's your heart's desires. Just, we want to see more creativity, happening in our kid ministry world. And so you have any final admonition, final encouragement?
I would just say that the people you're reaching are, I mean, you've heard it said, it's almost cliche. They're the most important people of the church. They're the church of the day. They're the church of tomorrow. They're every bit as much of the church as anyone else. They deserve to have our most creative thinking, our most engaged people. And because the really and truly, what you see in the scriptures, when a generation falls out, the damage is catastrophic. And so we live in a new culture. We live in a culture where church attendance doesn't happen all the time. We live in a culture where people are constantly saying, you know, this is the way we've always done it and it's no longer working. And we need tools. To me, we need tools to say, okay, we got to not worry about the way that it's always been done and say, how do we do it now? Because God didn't prescribe in the scripture exactly how to do church from generation to generation, because in his wisdom, he knew it would change. He knew it would grow. And he knew that every new expression of culture invites a new expression of the church. And how can we be the body of Christ today? That's the question we need to always ask ourselves. And not be afraid. Not be afraid that it may mean leaving what we're comfortable with and getting into spaces we're not comfortable with.
Wow. So good. So good. All right, gang. Well, that's going to be it. We're going to leave it right there with this episode of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. Thanks for listening, and join us again real soon for the next edition of the KMC. You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.